Okay, and anyone using API management here already? Or? Yep, silent. Who never saw anything or read anything about API management, that's be the first time. Okay, that's great. And okay, I'm try to have a introduction. Yeah. You know, to have all have the same level. It's a 400 session. Let's see how far we can get. Okay, to make everybody happy. It's early morning. There's a lot of things happening on API management. And yeah. Let's see what time is that. Who is like developer here? Developers or most of them? Yeah, 8 IT pros or? Okay, great. Developers using REST APIs. Who is still doing SOAP? SOAP, yeah. Okay. Who is doing both? I think it would be better let's start like this. Okay, still. Not like it. I'm not saying they're writing SOAP, but I mean maintaining SOAP. Probably everybody. Still maintaining that, and okay. Let's give it 2 minutes more. I think we can start. Yeah. We're going to start recording now. And yeah, really, really thanks for coming and, you know, make this effort to wake up today earlier and come here and be here in time. And we're going to be talking about Azure API Management, dive deep or deep dive, the way that you want. The idea here is we can go as far as you can for have like a full understanding of the platform. And because of 400 session, we're going to see some code as well, some, you know, samples that I have. And it's a 400 session because you need all this knowledge to understand all these bits and pieces that's happening. And the exciting part of Azure API Management now is they are getting, you know, frequent release. And we're going to discuss that. My name is Jorge Arteiro. I'm from Cloud Solutions. I work in Melbourne. I did this talk here last Ignite as well. And this time I try to focus exactly on Azure, the product itself, and see everything that can be done with this product. The agenda will be quick introduction to have everybody have the same level. Let's see all the use cases that the product can provide for us. When I say API consolidation to build your minimal product, everybody's talking about MVPs. We don't want to waste time. We want the minimal product that you can to go to the market. And I think API management can help us to do that. We don't want to waste time or invest in money or something that we even don't know is going to happen. And for MVPs, it's perfect. All the new features that are coming with these frequent releases now, going to for live demos, hands-on, 400 session, and you're going to see the roadmap. Azure API Manager is published now, it's public, you can see what they are planning for the feature. That's amazing, it's on Trello. I'm going to show the link here. We can then see what they are planning, what's coming, could be coming next week, 2 weeks, in 2 months' time, things are happening very fast now. And then I hope for questions. Let's see how far we can get on that. Probably, who saw that before? Maybe a few people saw it on the website, and it's a public thing. I think that's the easy way to show, you know, in 1 or 2 minutes the product. Azure App Management, nothing more than a gateway. Web developer portal. Oh, sorry. Too fast. Yep. We have this gateway here. That's the core of the product. That's like the engine of the product. Everything's processed there. The idea of an API manager is to be like a proxy, a gateway for all your APIs, where you can consolidate or create like a layer with a unique URL, unique endpoint that you can, you know, publish that to externally to the world. Now you can do that just internally in your company, completely isolated from the internet. And we're going to see that as well. That's the core of the product. To make this ready, you know, to work, we need what they call a publisher portal. That thing here is all moving now to Azure Portal. All the configuration is to be a separate website when you can create your APIs, create what they call products. That's where we group the APIs in products. All these functions that we're going to see the use case used to be this port, that's moving to Azure Portal. And all the integration that you can have with PowerShell, okay, all the REST APIs that the product is providing, you can use PowerShell direct, you know, the APIs. And that's one thing. And the other, what they call developer portal. Once you create a unique gateway for your APIs, and you want to expose this API to the public, let's say cloud is from Telstra. Telstra has like a SMS, a message API. They can publish this to the world, and they want the developers from, you know, partners from company that they want to have a subscription for this API. They're going to pay for this, a paid service. Could be a free service. They need one place where they go and they have the documentation for the API, where they can create a subscription, where they can just play what they call console or test. You can just play around with the API and see how it works without having to write any code. Or even give you some tips, give you some, you know, snippets of code that you can use to call your APIs in different languages. We're going to see that. That's what they call developer port. That's it. The developer is calling, using this. The application directly consuming what they call this gateway. That's where all the configuration that is done here is published on this gateway and is accessing your backend service, your APIs, because your API is not running here. That's just a gateway, okay, where you can do a lot of things there, smart things, what we call policies. You can do transformations. You can, before you call your backend API, for example, you can get token for this API. There's a lot of things that can be done here. That intelligence there we call policies. Okay, the product is calling policies, and we're going to see that. That's the main idea of the product. We have your APIs anywhere. Could be on-premise, could be any cloud provider. And you need to publish that for the world. You create an API management that takes like 30 minutes on Azure. After that, you get your API definition published here, and you have this API available for the world, including development portal, okay, and all administration tools that you need. That's the idea. Let's go for the use case. I wrote a blog some months ago to try help people to understand what the product can do without have to read too much, okay? And I said, maybe let's do like a use case diagram because the developers love that. You know, I think the IT pros love that as well. And then it would be easier for everybody to quickly see what the product can do. And that's exactly what I did. I did like a Azure API Management developers use case. Let's see, if you are a developer and you look for like a API from Telstra, say message API, what do you need? You need to go for that development portal. You need to create an account. That's what the product is doing. That's Azure API Management. You can go there, you can create your account. After that, you can log in, you can manage your profile. with subscription for your APIs, where you can get your keys that you're going to use to call the APIs. You can cancel your subscriptions. Applications are something we can call later, but they have a thing called applications. And you can manage your profile, because when you create accounts, okay, and the products manage all these use cases for us. We don't have to write application to do that. We can have thousands of developers using our API, consuming our API, paying for that, and the products are doing all this managing for us. Okay, database, they manage the whole thing. Very important thing, they can see the analytics. Let's say I'm paying for user message API, and I'm calling this API 100,000 times a month. I want to see what's, you know, it's happening more like 5 p.m. is, you know, I have more calls on this time. We can see all the analytics for your account, specifically for each user. And you're going to see that the administration portal, the administrator of your instance can see the whole, all the users, what they are doing, what they are calling. Okay, that's very important. And soon we'll be integrated with Azure Monitor as well for logs and for some things. That's something you're going to see on the roadmap. You can report an issue. Okay, I'm paying for use of an API from a provider, and something's wrong. Just open a ticket. You can report the issue on the platform. The developer portal is the best place to discover the APIs, where you can search, I don't know. I'm going on someone that's selling APIs. They can have 100 APIs. I want to try to find out what that APIs are for and what can be done with those APIs. That's very easy to do here. You can consume the APIs, you can test, you can get API documentation, you can even get the WSDL file or the Swagger file, this open API definition, that's the API definition. You can download that, you can use it to create your client interface to call those APIs. And you can also discover products. Products is a way that API Imagine create to group your APIs. Let's say I want to sell a message API, I want to sell some other API that's related with message API. Okay, I want to expose that to the public, I want to sell that. I can just create one product and sell these as just one product that you can give you subscription for the product. And you can have access to more than one API, okay? You don't have to get API per API. You can group these in a group of APIs and sell this as a product. Okay, that's the developed use case. If you go for the administration, we're going faster here because we can see that on the demo. And some things here you do just once. There's some administration that just do a configuration once you create your instance, and you don't have to do again. Like manage group and users. That's very important here, like Azure Active Directory group. Now you can see, you can have Azure B2C as well, business to consumer, Active Directory. What's the idea here? That those developers are not part of our company. If you are exposing the API for the public, they are just consumers from external companies or any, private developer. And the products manage these user accounts and everything. And that's the best way to do it. And if you do now as a B2C, it probably would be the best way to manage. And but you still can use groups. And you can invite users manually by mail, for example. I know that I'm going to sell my API for a customer. I just create an account for the developer of that customer, send an email for him with the account. We can even create a subscription for him just to help them out, not wait then to go and create the account. We can do that for them as well. It's all like administration that can be done. And you're going to see that. And you can create custom groups. If it's on Active Directory, any group from Active Directory goes through the platform as well. And you can use your internal Office 365 maybe or Active Directory that you have, and you say, I want to use those groups from there to enable my internal developers to consume the API management. That's an option as well. And here you can measure what we call notifications. Okay, analytics as well for the administrator. He can see all the users. He can see by region. A lot of things can be done here. And like I said before, automation. They can use REST APIs in PowerShell to pretty much do everything. They can create users, they can create groups, they can create a new API, they can publish, they can use the automation on a, you know, CD, CI pipeline or something. That's very easy to do. Another thing is, I was working with some customers, is and become one of the most important things like API onboarding. Let's say that you have you work for anyone working for enterprise companies with multiple APIs, and yeah, what's the case? We have different groups of developers, okay, and we have someone maybe managing, doing the administration of the API management. And once someone, a group of developers finish API, we have to onboard. We have to bring this API to the platform. And, okay, and how the API management itself help you to do that? You can go there and create an API manually. You can import the API from your Swagger definition or WSDO, WSDO. And now we can even integrate with Logic Apps as well. That's what the product is going. You're going to see that on the roadmap is Service Fabric integration as well, and Azure Functions integration, API apps integration. But what's ready to go is Logic Apps now. The others are on the roadmap. It's coming soon because the whole roadmap now is open. You guys can follow that. And that's very important because the developer said, "Now I have here .NET Core API. I want to deploy this API. It's just plug some swashbuckle or something that generate the Swagger Open API definition of that API. We get this definition, we come here and create the API." Okay? What's coming now? The new improvement. All these administration functions are moving to the Azure portal, and that will be using role-based access control. Means that we can create a custom role and give access for that specific API or group to access some APIs and do that themselves. Create the API themselves, okay? Probably be a developing environment for us, and you're going to manage the production environment. But that helps a lot. It's something that people are asking for the last 2 years, and it's just happening now. It's available. If you go to the roadmap, you'll be there. It's, you know, public. And that's going to help us to do that. That's the APIs, okay? You can manage issues as well. If someone open a ticket for my API, I can go there and have a look and see what happened and, okay, work with that ticket. You can see security sets as well. Moving to products. The administrator can go there and create a product, publish the product. You can create a product but not publish. When you have everything done, organized, all the APIs that you need, go and publish that product. There's a life cycle, you know, publish and unpublish for product. You can manage visibility for your products by group. I say I create a group of developers for that specific team, and I just give visibility for this product for that specific group. I can manage the whole subscribers and requests and everything. Okay, someone can go on the portal and say, "I want to use your API because I think it's nice. You did like a message API, and you can request access for that." And the administration go for the core of the product, that's policies. We're going to see that you can use Git to manage those policies. It'd be source control, I mean, source code that you can commit to like a Git repository and just push to the instance and publish everything that you change. Okay, that's something that can be done as well, and it's very important. That's very nice to publish from one environment to another. Once you have your environment ready, you can just, you know, get a snapshot of that Git and push to the other one, to the other instance, if we have one test and one production instance of Azure API Management. Another thing you can do, you can manage secrets, like what they call properties. You don't want to, you know, all your passwords, anything that you're doing on the engine of the product, you can isolate that in what they call properties. Then here, we're going to see on the screen, but it's pretty much managing security. It's getting key to call the REST API, getting your, you know, username and manage your Git repo. How you manage identity on the development portal, you can do that. Like I said, B2C now is available. You can set that. Most of these things just done once. Once you have this set, you know, get your keys, get your B2C, you know, organized. If you use B2C, you probably don't need to use anything else because you have all the, you know, external Google accounts, all these third-party identity providers, and you have Microsoft as well. And it'd be probably the best option going forward. And you can manage certificates. If you are talking with your backend API using, you know, certificates for communication, for SSL, and for in both sides, both ways, that's, you can manage there. You can upload your certificates in a safe way. You can use the identity providers for the development portal as well. Because think like, you gave me an API that I published on Azure API Management that I need a token to call that API. Once I publish this, the developer, they don't have the token. We don't want to make this easier for them to go in a development portal and, you know, the developer can create a token for him. And that's what the integration is here for. It's just for the development portal to automatically, you know, like if Postman or whatever, you can set the authentication, get the token from Azure Active Directory or somewhere, you can do here as well. And then they inject the token on the request, and you can have like a lab or a console that you can play without having to copy and paste tokens to call the API, okay? This can be managed for the developer portal, and you have open API and OAuth too. Delegation is, I'm not happy with all this. B2C, all these things. I have my own authentication, and I want to use that own authentication on the development portal. You can have as well. Okay, that's easy to do it, and you can do it. I think the last one. That's other things we're going to see on the developer portal. You can manage blogs. The developer can use it, you know, we can even have blogs. We can publish some blogs with information for the developers. We can publish applications, like I develop application using your API, I can just publish there and say everybody knows now that my application is using those APIs. And you know all the applications that are using the APIs available on the portal. I think that's a nice thing. Not many people using that, but I should say, yeah, it could be a easy thing to use. And content management system. The whole development portal is a CMS, a content management system that you can change whatever you want. And means that you can put your logo, you can do your branding, okay? Not be like a blue screen or something. You can do your whole branding. I think all Azure Cognitive Services from Microsoft is using Azure API Management, and you can see, you don't even know that's Azure API Management, but it's there. It's all customized. You can bring JavaScript, CSS for your portal. You can even do calls from that. Okay, at the beginning it wasn't available JavaScript, now you can. And yeah, you can do some settings, basic settings as well. Okay. I think that a lot of information and but why I did this use case, I think that's the easier way to quickly see how powerful is the Azure API Management and how many things can be done there. I think I put the session talk about MVP. Why I did that? Because many companies are trying to do this. They're trying to create this layer, API management layer here, or service SOA, or used to be SOA or something, but now we have products that help us to create this layer. I think you guys, how many microservice sessions we had? We had Scott Guthrie talking about microservice, about containers, about all these things. That's exactly to help this happen. We are breaking our APIs, our features, in small pieces of code. And the API sometimes there is a way to publish those microservices to the applications and to the public. And that's what happened. If you try to create that, you guys are going to see that I kind of did like a demo using exactly this link that you guys have here. It's a cloud, it's like a demo Azure API management site that anyone here can go and create an account if you want. You know, I left public. If you look at my blog, there's some instructions there. And you can grow and create an account and play with some APIs that are making available there, like SMS API from Telstra. Okay, is way that you can play and understand better the platform. But think about yourself. You are creating your application. I have to, quickly go and publish that to the world. I want to make money from that. So my enterprise company want to consolidate the APIs that they have. They have like 200 APIs, 100 APIs. And they have SOAP, they have REST. They manage different identity providers. Then if you want to talk with that API, you have to call that identity provider to get a token. If I want to talk to that one, I have to get a basic authentication, get a username and password. And it's kind of a mix of technologies and legacy, different identities, and that's become very complex to manage. When you have this layer on top of this everything, you can just say, okay, that's a SOAP API, or let's say Translator was a SOAP API. I want to restify this API now. Now you can. You can just restify this API, and you'll be REST endpoints for the world. But when the API manager gets your request, they call a SOAP API, get the SOAP envelope back, and send the JSON back to the customer. It's kind of, they're doing the job for us. Okay, many people did that manually, and now you can do here. Or just now, I create a new notification API. It's a REST API, .NET Core, okay, the latest technology. I just can go here, get the open API or Swagger definition, and publish this here. What's the difference? The difference is the identity is one team. The translator is another team, okay? They could be using different technology. They could be using, and sometimes you cannot make them use the same technology. You cannot make them use the same identity providers because that's how the business works. Okay, I have worked with customers that have 18 different kind of identities, and there is no way to match this. Okay, that's how the business works, and that's how API management came. Create one layer with a single and unique endpoint that you can use for your application. Okay, you don't have to know, to talk with this guy, I have to understand, different identity provider or something. No, it's going to be just like one. Okay, let's go ahead. And then you just create. You can use like something like that. You can see that's your endpoint. / your service, then you can use some versioning if you want to use version on the URL. That's one way to do versioning. If you look at the roadmap, you're going to see at the end, they are working to bring versioning, in an easier way for us, kind of out of the box. Then you can just say, okay, for this API, I want this type of versioning using URL, headers, or okay, different ways. That's in development now, but you can do yourself. You don't have to do, okay? If you want to use this, you can do. But keep in mind that they are working to improve that. And And you can follow that as well. But the main idea is that you can have a like identity version one. I have something I call user. That's a REST API. When I get the ID and I get a JSON back, for example, with the or XML with the user information. Then you just build your APIs. And you know, I recommend if you start, go for REST APIs. And that's what. But I put two slides here just to, because I'm talking MVP, and say, is anyone here doing design first of the API before writing any code? Yeah? Guy from Motorola here, well done. But that's kind of something that's changing slowly, and some people like, some people don't like it. I personally like it. I think you know, design first is something that makes sense. You know, there's a lot of tools now that we can do that. And I use this one, Represent, before Appymetrix can do it. There's a few tools that now I think RESTlet can do. And Microsoft has something what they call AutoREST. That's an open source library where pretty much you can generate your client code from your API definition. And like, if you create your API first, means that you wrote the code, okay? With .NET, create the code. And in .NET now we have this package called /buckle that you can just generate the whole API definition automatically from your code, and you get like that YAML file with your Swagger definition. Swagger is open API now, but the same thing, okay? Open API, Swagger. Because Swagger was a private definition and become like a open source definition. And if you guys go on this open API initiative, you're going to see that Microsoft is there and so many, all these big players are helping with this open API. Because you used to have different kind of API definition. And it was kind of become like 5, 6, or 7 and it was growing and said, no, stop there. Let's create one API definition that everybody can use, and it'll be a standard, and the standard is OpenAPI or Swagger, okay? Then you create your API, you generate your Swagger, and who's going to do that? Who's going to generate the client for us to consume those APIs, okay? Because you're writing here the server, the server side, the backend API. But you have to give something for your developers to consume that API. Many people, what you call SDKs, you know, sometimes you simplify the things for the developers and just give SDK for him, okay? And that's one way you can do. You can create one SDK, and I think Appymetrix does that very well. And there is an integration with Appymetrix with Azure API Management as well. You can just Google that, you're going to see, and you can set your instance to show Appymetrix inside Azure API Management and generate the, from the development portal, you can generate the SDK. Means that the developer can go there and download the SDK, and the SDK was generated by this guy. You have to pay for this company, but that's just one option, okay? And they did some integration with API Management recently. I think that's great. This one is open source, AutoREST. You don't have to pay anything. They can generate code for different languages as well. Appymetrix as well can multiple different languages, including Angular, front-end, JavaScript. You can get the SDK in JavaScript or something to call from your single-page applications. But look, if you don't do that, if you do like the Swagger first or the design first, then you go for this Swagger Hub or Represent or RESTlet or any product that can do that. And that's where I think the things are improving. There are so many tools coming, and I think that would be, like you have one fella here doing that, and I think it would be growing and growing, is you create your API definition. Before you do anything, you can even test your API. You can mock your API. You can do like a mock of something that doesn't exist. You have just a definition, and you can just simulate your calls. And the nice thing here is that's coming to Azure API Management itself. That's one main thing I'm going to show. Then mocking and is coming to Azure API Management, and you can do that inside the platform now. Then you create your definition, Then you can generate your API without implementation, and then you go there and tell the developer, just write the code for this operation here. That's what I want, okay? Before starting writing any code. Then you generate the client and consume the API. That's the trend, I think. And I'm talking that for more than 2 years, but slowly it's become reality. With Azure API Management, that's exactly what happened. You get the Swagger at the moment. You create the API. They're working to generate the client as well. You can use any auto REST to generate the client and consume the API. Okay, but keep in mind they now helping with the other things as well. And I put some new features here because if someone was here last Ignite, anyone here from last Ignite? I think Simon, yeah. And a lot of things happening. One thing is Azure portal integration, like I said. All the published administration portal is moving to Azure portal. And once it's completed, you know, the role-based access will be fully integrated because the administration extend website to be decommissioned, and then you'll be a fully integrated with role-based access. Okay, but it's working already. We should say that it's not all the features are there yet. It's like, you know, in progress. Still like kind of a preview, but it's growing every day. And once they move everything, they just remove the website, the old website. Publisher portal, Azure portal integration itself. SOAP pass-through means that I have a SOAP API, I just published there. It's still a SOAP API. To call this API, you still have to send a SOAP envelope or something. Or you can just RESTify SOAP to REST. You have two options now available. SOAP to REST is still in preview. It's a public preview. Hopefully it'll be, you know, fully available soon, but it's working fine. But it's not still in public preview. Azure B2C is still in preview. I'm not going to show here more, but it'll be available very soon. Be available very soon. And but that's a we can see on the roadmap that's there. And role-based access is done, it's public from 4 days ago. Was, you know, full. If you look, the roadmap is there, I think 4 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. But keep in mind that to have this integration, you still need to move everything to the Azure portal. But everything that's already on the Azure portal is working with role-based access control. If you don't know what's role-based access control, it's pretty much how the Azure portal managed, you know, who can do or whatever we can do inside the Azure portal. Like, I can just be read-only, I can be a writer, I can create a new instance, you know, all your permissions for the Azure portal. And logic apps, that's a big, you know, thing here. And you can, from logic apps, you can, you know, create your API management, or from API management, you can just say, I want to bring my logic apps here that I can call from here. And you don't have to, you know, make all the calls. They do all the plumbing for us. Then it means that you can consolidate your logic apps on your API management layer as well. That's nice. That's very good. And that's very easy to do as well. There's some new policies like transformation policies, AP Metki SDK integration, like I said. All the backups now, they keep for 30 days. Used to be 7 days. That's very nice as well. VNets, a lot of people was waiting for that. And now I'm only going, you are the one waiting for this?
No, I accept the DNS, it's perfect. But the DNS part, you still have to ask Microsoft to
do it. Used to be like V1 VNets, you know, version 1 VNets. Now I'm VNets, like V2, that's working. And internal only VPNs means that I want to see, no, my API manager is just internal, to be consuming internal on my organization. We can lock this down, and you can just connect this with a VNet, but there is no public endpoints. They are not exposing the endpoints to the public. Some people are asking, I want to publish just like a couple of endpoints, you know, because someone want to access from outside. There is a way to do that. You have to talk to them. You can use Azure Gateway or something just to expose. And then you do that yourself. Okay? There's a way to do that. Like, you can lock everything, then start just opening some things that you want, if that's the case. Because keep in mind, Azure API Management is a platform as a service. You don't need VMs. You don't do anything. You just go there, create an instance, and you have the whole thing. Okay? They don't have on-premise version. If you want to install this on-premise, maybe it'll be in a feature, but there's no concrete plans to do that in a short term. That's the market for them. I think it's a good move. They can, you know, open like these VPN things, and but something that they are looking for the future, maybe. Okay, and yeah, one thing that helps now is this VPN access for your, you know, Azure network. It used to be only available for what they call premium tier. Okay, they have three tiers. They have like a developer tier that's just for testing, costs like $50-$60 a month in Australia, Australian dollars, $63 or something. Then now this developer tier, you can have the full feature of the product, including VPN. Then, look, they are giving us like a gift, okay? If you are enterprise and you can pay $60 to have a full development environment, paying $60 per month, including Azure Active Directory integration, VPN, you know, it's pretty much a gift. They're giving that pretty much for free for us to test and to develop. And you can have multiple, even if you want to now, you can have multiple instances to test, and then you create your production. That's, there is no SLA for that development tier, then keep in mind that shows for testing, okay? Just for development. Then you create your premium, where you pay more and you have like SLA and, you know. Development tier, there's some limitations and how many calls you can make, they're going to support. It's a small instance. And they have what they call standard instance. Standard is something that they don't need VPN, they don't need the Azure Active Directory integration, but they still need like a good response time, you know, a good throttling, all these things. They want to manage how many calls you can make per second for the whole instance, then have the standard here. Okay, let's go change here. See if it's still live here. Log out. Is the wrong one? Yeah, it's wrong. Okay. See my time. Just a second. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to close here. Can you guys see that? It's fine? Okay. I'm going to close everything. Just make sure that the session is still running. Okay. As you guys can see, Azure API Management here at the bottom on Azure Portal. I have my instance created, but you can go and add a new instance if you want. That's how simple it is there. That take, it's coming down, I think like maybe 15 minutes now, not sure, maybe less. They're improving, you know, the performance to create a new instance, but anyway, you're going to create that once, so, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, not going to make difference. And you just, yeah, create a name for your, you know, instance here. You just select your subscription. You can create a new resource group. All the standard, location, organization name in the administration. And you select the tier. Developer, 1 million calls per month, 5 gig data transfer, standard, 217 million calls a month, 1 terabyte data transfer. If you use more than 1 terabyte, you pay extra. And premium have 1 billion API calls and have 5 terabytes, okay? There's a price for each one. If you want to see the full price, I don't want to show the price. Not scare anyone. And but let's go for my, I have just a simple developer instance here. But like I said, it's a full feature. Let's scroll a little bit here. Yeah, everything now is moving to Azure Portal. Means that all the old portal administration is here, like scaling. Once you create your instance, you can do everything here. Okay? Create the instance. You don't need the old portal anymore. Yeah, you can scale if you want to move from developer to standard or premium. You can set your virtual network now that I was talking about, external and internal, VPNs, custom domains. Okay, I wanna put my brand there, and I don't want AzureAPI.net there. You can bring your certificate or your domain, no problem at all. Yeah, that's the details, is in Australia East. That's very important here. All Azure API management have a unique IP. That's very handy when you need whitelist, you know, some customer want to whitelist the IPs that they can call, and that's a unique IP. And then when API manager is talking with someone is using that IP to talk, when they call your backend, they're using this IP, like the outbound IP. Then you just, you can tell for development team, please let this IP to call your APIs. That's one extra layer of security that you can bring. Yeah, that's the standard from the old portal. And now we have this access control. Access control means now you can go here in roles. You can see the standard default roles for role-based access, API management contributor, operator, and reader. If you don't know, in Azure Portal, you can go and create your custom role. And just to show one role here, you can click, and you can go here in permissions. Okay. If you want to add a new user for a specific role, like he's going to be an administrator, but just for a specific thing, you can go here and add a user for that role. Okay, just add a user here. If you want to see what that role can do, you just click permission, and you can see here. If you want to go another level, click here, and you're going to see read, write, delete for each operation. Okay? And you can do that yourself. You can create a custom role now. That means there's no excuse anymore. It's fully, you know, customizable, and you can do whatever you want. And I think that's really good. When you see API management here now, we have, they created what they call a quick start. If you don't know, that's the first time you want to pay that $60 or you have an MSDN subscription. Yeah, you have $200 a month. Go there and create one instance. You can play. Okay, you're not going to pay anything. You're probably not even using your $200 a month. And you go there and you can play with this. And quick start's nice because, you know, you can just follow these and how create your first API, some documentations, and follow, you know, the documentation from MSDN or from Microsoft. But let's see, close again before opening this one. Those functions here is everything that's moving from the publisher portal, administration portal, it's moving to Azure portal, it's coming to here. If you click like products, for example, there's a nice message there that said it's not migrated yet. Okay, and if you go overview, I think, they're going to let you know that they are in process of transitioning to publish portal to Azure portal. Just to be clear there, you know, people get confused, they put some notes there. I think it's important. And everything here is still in development. Properties, developers, groups, analytics, everything is still running here. That's what they call the old administration portal. You see groups, users, products. They're going to move these things here from the old portal to the Azure portal, exactly here, and see security. Everything that we saw on the use case now be easier for you to understand because, you know, when you look the use case first, for some reason, people are telling me it's easier to understand the product when you open the product, and I think it makes sense. And but the main thing of the product is APIs, okay? If you skip this administration to create a group, create a product, create all these things, that's what they did. They did first, they migrate what they call the API administration. That's clear there, that's team preview, but it's working fine. And the first thing here, like, I want to create an API. I can create a blank API. I can bring my open API Swagger definition here. Like if I click here, I can just bring my, I can upload like this Swagger file, it's a YAML file, it's a text file. And or I can just give a link, a URL of the my API where you publish like a WSDL file or Swagger file, okay? And just give a name for this API, a description. I think that description is HTML, but the editor is not showing as HTML here yet. And you can create what they call a suffix, okay? Keep in mind, this is your base URL. When you create your instance, you have this base URL. Then slash something. Remember my slide before? You need like a service name. I'm publishing one API. I'm going to publish many APIs here. Okay, not just one. And then this suffix is exactly how I want people to call a specific API. Then you can have a suffix. You can have one API at the root level. I don't recommend much to do that. Yeah, go ahead. Questions?
Is there a way to automate this part, integrate into the CD? When we run to continuous delivery, we already push our APIs. Is there any way to call an API from API management and then
yes.
But API management knows, hey, this is the Swagger update, whatever my definitions are.
Yeah. The question is, yeah, can we automate the way that you create the APIs using, CI integration or something? Yes. You have what they call REST APIs, as I said before, the automation, what they call automation. You can use PowerShell or you can use REST APIs directly calls, okay? And you're going to see that you can get the keys from the administration portal. Yeah, that's very important. Some people are using Git, the source code itself to do it. I get the whole definition, I change something, and just upload. That's for the existing one. To create a new API, you normally can use some kind of integration like that. But that's how you create. If I open one API that I have here, let's see, open this one. Oh, that's not the best one. Let's see this one here. If I go here, those are APIs that I have created before. There's one API called Telstra API, where I published some APIs that Telstra sells, and I'm just using it as a demo here. They have like what they call a send SMS operation. They have a get response. I can send you an SMS. If you reply, I can get the response from you. I can see the status. I can see if you've read the message or not. And I don't know if you guys know, but Telstra have all these Wi-Fi hotspots that if you're a Telstra customer, you can even connect your mobile for free using your account. And like, I'm here in Brisbane, I'm from Melbourne. There's a hotspot there at the corner. We just use it as your internet, as the same way that you use at home. You can connect on that one. The only thing you need, I think, is a specific, you know, router in your home to enable that. Because it's like they give access to that, but kind of you have to give access to others using your own hotspot. But I think they gave that for free for a long time. And they have one API to let you know where the hotspots are. That's nice. I don't know. I'm here. I have no idea where. And then you can just call this API. But how I create this API? See, api.telstra.com. That's the endpoint of the back end of the API that I'm going to call. It's not, I'm going to call this API from Telstra. And I just put a suffix called Telstra. I could be anything, okay? As a demo, I said Telstra, but could be anything. And that's not the API, not the URL that you guys are going to call. You're going to call the Azure API Management URL/Telstra. That's it. Okay? I'm saying that I'm just going to allow HTTPS calls and naming and blah. If I go here and test, that's a new feature that they brought to the Azure portal. Because before it was only available on the developer portal and not on the administration portal. Now it's available here as well. And then I want to call this API. I have to say latitude and longitude and radius, like 2K from this point. I think that's from Melbourne, sorry. And I'm sending some headers here as well. The headers is, because I'm administrator, I'm going to tell them, can you give me all the trace for the API? Because I'm administrator. When I call this back in, I want to know how long took, you know, for them to reply, how long took for Azure API Management to process my policies and everything. That's what they call this trace. And I have to select one subscription. Okay, they just assign a subscription if you have one. It's something I can show later. Like, you can have an API, but you cannot use API if you don't have a subscription. If you don't have a key or a username, you cannot call. You can see the documentation, but if you want to consume, you have to request that key. But I have one here already. See, I have multiple subscriptions. I'm using the primary key of my main subscription, okay? You can have multiple subscriptions for different products. That's just administration. Then I can call. It's just like a console that I can play, you know, a Postman or something like that. And I can get the response. There is one in Docklands, latitude and longitude, the street name, or where is the 158 Spencer Street, or close to there, callings, blah, 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 and they give me everything they have. I think they give a maximum 10. I think there's some limitation, maximum number of points they give. But, and that tab here, trace, that's very important for administration. They give everything that you can see from, that's how the API management is processing your call, okay? The application, the client is that portal here, could be your application, calling this API, called Wi-Fi hotspots, that's calling Telstra API, get the response and send you back. Then you can see step by step what they're doing. Took like 0.2, 27 milliseconds to do just the first inspection of the API. Then let's scroll down here. You can see, I'm doing log to Event Hub. That's another feature. You can log everything to Event Hub, Azure Event Hub. Then every time that you call my API, I'm logging everything on Event Hub because I'm get from Event Hub, send to Power BI, doing like some dashboards. Keep in mind that Azure Monitor is coming, then it'll probably be easier to integrate with OMS, Azure OMS, all these things. But I used to do like that, and it's still available. And you can use that for other things as well. From Azure, Event Hub, you can do whatever you want. You can send, you can do machine learning, you can do whatever you want. Then they set the method, they set the header, they set the body. See, you can see everything that's happening. And the first thing you have to understand, Why are they doing that? I don't have no idea. Where you ask them to log the things to the event hub? Has to be some place that you did that. That's what we call policies. That's why I go back here now to the design. Because look, I'm not sending any token. How Telstra is giving me the results if I'm not, you know, sending any username or anything? That's exactly what I did. I went on the back end of the API management for this operation, and I'm requesting a token in your behalf to Telstra, get the token calling the API. That means that the only thing that your users need is your API key for the subscription, from the subscription to call this API. If that's enough for authentication in your case, fine. You can have another kind of authentication token, okay? But that's how it works. And try to understand this. I click here on the specific like operation, like these Wi-Fi hotspots, and you can see what they call front-end inbound processing when the request arrives, the back-end when they send the request to the back-end, in this case, Telstra API, and when they get the outbound processing back, and before sending back to the caller, to the client, they can do some transformation. It's like, I can get the, I think I'm doing, I let's see, I can get a XML, transform to JSON, and send back to the client as JSON. Okay? Let's get one here that you guys can understand. Let's see, front end. You can click here, you can edit. For this operation, you can see you can define, because we have this URL here, we have some parameters, latitude and longitude, and radius, kind of a REST endpoint. Then you're going to see the parameters here. You can name those parameters. This comes everything from your API definition. You can do that manually if you want, like design first. You do everything first, then you get the definition, create, okay, the back end, or you just get from your source code and do like that. But you can see the whole thing here. You can see, that's what they call front end, okay? And if you want to have any additional parameter for your call, you can set here. You can set headers as well. That's exactly where you set the call for the back end, okay? You can add some extra things here in an easy way or in a user interface friendly way. Okay. That's what they call that. Let's close this. If you go for the inbound, and you go on that first user interface here, what they call forms now. Let's go, sorry, can't close everything. Don't do that. So you can have form base or code editor. Code editor is, you go for the code. That's where you can use Git integration and go and see and treat your policies as a code. But policies, let's see if you can probably see like that. See that I'm doing a URL rewrite. When I get your call, okay, I'm going to rewrite that and be like, change the way that I'm calling the back end. That's one way to do it. Let's close that one. I want to see the back end, I think. Call that. Yeah, that's same thing. Let's go back to the old portal. It could be easier to see here because some things are not available there yet. And I create my policies using. See, here you can see the policy by product, by API, or by operation. Means that I can create logic by different levels. by the whole, you know, product. Let's see, I'm going to create a policy to every time, for any API operation for this product, I'm going to ask a token. Because, you know, this product, all the APIs for this product use the same identity manager. And I can do that. What I'm doing here is I'm doing, see, Wi-Fi hotspot, yep. Operations, we go Telstra API. Yeah, that's the main, when I'm doing my main. Can you guys see that? Yeah, I think you can. Yeah. When, every time that you call this API, for any operation, okay, send SMS or whatever, they're going to call, send a request. You see this right side here? That's all the kind of policies that you can do. What I'm doing here, as an example, is I'm sending a request to the identity provider of Telstra, where I have my token here as a property. You see, that's not there. That's what they call property. That's a private thing that we don't have to expose here on the editor. And it's easy to migrate from test to production, for example, as well. Okay, because the code is not going to change. That's very important. People get confused, but I always use properties. And then I'm sending a post. Okay, I'm not calling the backend yet. I'm calling someone else to get a token to call the backend. That's what they call send request policy. Then I do that. I have to set authorization header. Okay, and then I get the body back from the from that response. Then I set a header for my backend call with the token that I got back. Anything here, we can use what they call policy expressions. It's like a C-sharp snippet that you can use. Pretty much C-sharp language that you can use here. There's a lot of things. There's a documentation for that. But in this case here, what I'm doing is, see, I get the response. I'm get Telstra token and setting as a header, as authorization header for my backend call. That's it. Anything that you can see here, you can use. Okay, you can validate JSON tokens. Like if your application is sending a token for the Azure API management, you could validate the token here before you call the backend. Means that nobody's going to call the backend before the validation of the token. That's something that can be done. I think most of people are using that. The same thing for the outbound. I was talking about the outbound here. Code editor, I think I did something. Not really for sure here. Yeah, in this case, I haven't done, but what you can do is just convert. You can get JSON and convert to XML. I see, I think I did the other one. I think I did this one here. Translator. Yeah. I'm just converting from XML to JSON. And I was converting in a friendly way. Okay, I'm using, in this case, basic authentication to call the API. That's cognitive service, that's translator. I'm translating information. And I'm just, yeah, say Bing translator key. That's a consolidation. You can get all these APIs from Microsoft, from other providers, and consolidate on API management. And you don't have to get the key of Bing translator for the, your developers. You just put the key here as a property, nobody can see, and you just give an API subscription key for your developers. That's it. Imagine that if you have 15 API providers with 15 different keys, and you have to get these keys for 15 different teams of developers, it would be a mess. Once you manage that, okay, you can do that. You can put your key that the providers give you here, and you just use the product to manage all the subscriptions, all the things. That's an easy way to do it. I'm doing for translator here. Yeah, if you go here, translate, test. Hello from English to Portuguese. Sorry, I'm from Brazil, then Portuguese. You'll be olá. Olá is hello in Portuguese. That's Azure, yeah, translate, Bing Translator API. I just create accounts free. You can have many calls for free per month. I just got the key, create API, consolidate that here. One thing I want to show here to try to see how many minutes we have left is looking here for the new. You see, you have functions app and API apps coming, logic apps. I think you have people showing that in other sessions. I'm not going to show here, but you can just browse and you can pick your logic apps. And pretty much you can expose that on API management very easy. I think integration, REST API integration, I think it's ready to go as well, pretty sure. And very important, SOAP. I don't want to focus in SOAP, but because that's a new feature, and we have enterprise customers here using SOAP, that's very nice. Okay, you can use SOAP pass-through or SOAP to REST. And they doing all the job for us. They're doing all the job for us. If you go and look the API that I create here, orders REST. I'm calling a SOAP API and REST find these on the main platform. And then maybe have to go operation, get the open orders. You see, I haven't done that. The only thing I did was go here on the portal, click here, say I want to REST find this API. Okay, I got this, that's a simple API that you can use from them. Click here, say SOAP test, let's say test, yeah, SOAP ignite, ooh. SOAP ignite, and click create. And I have to, because SOAP we can have multiple, you know, ports, you just have to pick one. They're not going to create both. It has to be a separate API to do that. And that's it. You have now a RESTful API, okay? And then if you go what they did, that's exactly what they did. They create policies for us. And they're using one thing called liquid templates to do that. And see if I have liquid templates open here. Yep, that's the liquid templates they're using for the policy. What's that template? You're going to see here. Liquid. It's just a language that you can use to create like templates and map the parameters that you need to create like a, you know, a payload, like a template generation. Yeah, you know. Output by basing template, and that's the easier way they found to enable this RESTful for us, because we have to get a REST call and generate like a SOAP payload to call the backend. And how we generate this payload? Anyone that you work with enterprise service buyers before here or open source products, there's so many different, you know, plugins to do that. They just put liquid templates for us here. You can look the documentation and you can understand how that works, see tags, and but that's done. And the best way, they generate the whole thing for us, and you just go there and you can do small adjust, you know, adjust some things, but it's there. And you now have a RESTful API that you can call. That's very good, okay? And how many minutes we have left? It's gone, or? Three? Okay. Free from the. Then I prefer open for questions, and let's just change here a little bit. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's open for questions, and I know that there is no black, you know, night anymore, or anything. But if you guys can, please, you know, give your feedback for us and. You know, for my session, I appreciate. That's more for me, and if you can do the evaluation, I really appreciate. I know that's Friday, but that's very important for me. And yeah, thank you so much. That's my Twitter account, and I'm going to try to bring more content. I have two blogs about, you know, those use cases, some introduction for Azure API management, and I'll be publishing more of these things. But yeah, keep in mind, and I'm open to questions, more questions. Yep. The payload back? Yes. Yes.
You, so for example, there is an authorization issue on the backend API.
Yep.
But the frontend API is fine. They're providing you proper keys.
Yep.
So when you respond back to the frontend API, can you customize
that? You can. You can. You can log the errors. You can customize. You can even now use these liquid templates to do whatever you want on the payload as well, if you want to do some conversion. Not using those standard polys. Now you can use the full liquid template to do whatever you want. Like if you want to have a template for the, you know, for the result back, you can use liquid templates now on the set body of the response. You can just get the response from the back end and send, or you can do, you know, many things. You can convert. You can use liquid templates, or you can log your own Event Hub. You can manage some exception, like you said, or if you get like a 500 or something, then you can, you know, you can send a request to get like a kind of a nice customized message or something. And keep in mind that in Azure Payment, we have caching. I haven't talked about much caching because it's something that is easy for you guys to get. And any call can be cached. Means that you don't have to be calling the back end all the time. Caching is very important.
Is it possible to consolidate multiple API calls into a single API? So if my business has three GET contacts from three different systems, each one with a different authentication, can I have one API call that will actually go and make all the three calls and give me back all the information?
I can kind of, if you send a request, you probably can. If you do some tricking with caching and, yeah, you can find a way to do it. Yeah, you can find. But kind of meshing these up because we have send requests now, you can get three calls and, you know, meshing these together and send back. Yes. Yeah. We're probably going to get some limitations some stage, but, yeah, you can do it. Yeah.
You mentioned there's a way to lock down to just internal calls.
Yes. You can have separate instances if you want, or you can do that. I think there's a way you can talk to them and kind of using Azure Gateway to expose some endpoints, or yourself, you know, because that's running there. The only way for them to open some gateway is using, you know, Azure Gateway, but or you can separate it. Yeah, both options I think are valid. Yeah, but it's the whole instance. There is no way to be, you know, half or anything. Has to be, like I said, separate instances if you want to do that. Yeah. But more, I want to see more questions. Simon, you can ask as well. Don't come on. But yeah, thank you so much. If you want to ask, I'll be here for a few minutes more. And thank you.